out, and I only have an hour, and I tend to run a little long. But let's begin by praying and asking the Lord to bless our time in His Word, because that's where you begin when you study God's Word, because it's an acknowledgement that we can't understand it without His grace and His mercy upon us. So let's do that. Holy Father, we thank You for Your Word. We confess with Your beloved Son that Your Word is truth, and we pray, as He prayed, that You would sanctify us by Your truth. And we confess, Father, that we are blind to see that truth contained in Your Word unless You would pour Your grace and mercy upon us, unless You would teach us by Your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we look to You this morning as expectant children, as hungry children, hungry for Your Word. We pray that You might feed us this morning. We pray that You might open our eyes to see Jesus Christ in the pages of Scripture. We pray that You might fill us with the appreciation and the awe of Your great glory. And we pray this for Your glory. We pray this for our good. And we pray this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. All right. Welcome. We're going to continue our study this summer of the book of James. And we've been studying it as a church family. I hope it's been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me. I hope you've been reading your book of James over and over and over again, because that's really how you meditate on it, and it gets in that head. And then that's where you start to get in your heart. I had an interesting experience this week. I've been in trial for the past 2 weeks, and one person I work with came up to me and commented, and please know I'm not saying this to tout myself in any way, saying, "You've had some really frustrating times, but you haven't gotten angry. And I know you said you've been praying about this. I need you to give me the prayer that you pray, like it's some type of magical incantation." And I'm going to just point her to the book of James, because I'm so thankful we've been in the book of James, such a practical book for daily living. And we're going to continue our study. So we've already learned that James is a letter written by James, who was the half-brother of Jesus Christ, who is himself the living Word of God. And James wrote this declaring what he considered or thought of himself from the very beginning, from verse 1. He says, James declares in the first verse that he considers or he thinks of himself as what? A bondservant or a slave of the Lord Jesus. And he addressed this letter to the Jewish believers who had been dispersed throughout the entire world, in different places, living in different circumstances, all with different struggles, just like you and just like me. And so begins one of the themes that we have seen in the first chapter of James that's going to continue throughout the whole book. I put it in your note sheet. I want it to kind of be in your forefront as we... The theme of considering or thinking starts internally. And we got to remember, everybody, that James did not always consider or think of himself as the way that he describes himself in the book of James. He didn't always consider himself a bondservant or a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because Scripture tells us. In John 7:5, we read that it was during Jesus' earthly ministry that it says this: not even his brothers believed in him. And James was his half-brother. Not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus, remember, had openly declared his word to the people. He had openly declared his word, the word of God, before his brothers. James heard it with his ears, but James didn't believe it in his heart. And James did not receive it to himself. James did not consider or think that the word of Christ at that time was true. And at that time, James would say that he was what? He was deceived. Let's stop and consider for a minute. What does it mean to be deceived? Guys, what's another word for being deceived? Being tricked. That's great. Being tricked, or if you want to get fancy, being hoodwinked. Did you know that hoodwinked came from a 16th century term referring to the tactic of thieves that would put a hood over your head before they took from you? When you're deceived or when you're tricked, It's because you consider or think something that's not true. Right? My kids wanted me to try these Bean Boozled things. They're jelly beans. They look like they're really good. But then when you taste them, they taste horrible. I was tricked. I thought that's going to be a good jelly bean. It was not. But the point I want you to take from this is you're tricked when you consider or think something that's not true. That's where it starts. It's based on that wrong or false thinking that you then take wrong or false action. And that's where you're taken advantage of, or you're hurt, or something is taken from you. When that's the process of being deceived. So ask yourself, is being deceived a good thing or a bad thing? I'm making it really simple. Obviously, it's a bad thing. These are rhetorical questions. Why is it a bad thing? It's a bad thing to be deceived because it's when you're deceived, it's not based on the truth. It's not based on reality. And it leads to bad actions. And that those bad actions lead to loss, embarrassment, a bad place. So listen, guys, this is the recurring theme of the book of James right there, especially of James chapter 1. And you could even take it to the entire Bible. The theme is consider or think. It's up there at the top of your notes for you. And that will lead to action. How you consider, how you think in your mind will necessarily lead to outward action, which will then necessarily lead to what? It's on your paper. It'll lead to a result. And what kind of, ask yourself, what kind of result do you want for your life? What do you want your life to look like? Look, think about that in light of the book of James in the first chapter. Do you want your life to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing? Does that sound good to you? It does to me. Or do you want your life to be imperfect and lacking? Well, of course you want to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Do you want to be stable and grounded? Or do you want to be like a guy who's tossed about in the waves, who has no sure footing? Well, the answer is obvious. Do you want to be approved and receive the crown of life? That's what it talks about in James, chapter 1. Or do you want to pass away and die out in the midst of your pursuits? It also talks about that in James chapter 1. Do you want to be fruitful? Do you want to be fruitless? Also in there. Do you want to be worthless? Have a worthless religion? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Or do you want to be blessed in everything that you do? Also in our section this morning. You have to see the big picture here as you go through James. Obviously, we all want to be blessed and we all want to be in that good state. We all want to live. We don't want to die. And friends, this is exactly what James is about. This is what James 1 is about. And the theme we have been seeing in James 1 is that there's only one difference between being in the good state of being blessed and having life and being grounded and being in the bad state of dying out and having worthless religion. And that difference is only one thing that's harped on over and over. That you consider or think on the truth. And that you act on the truth. And what is that truth? Again, a theme of James that you're going to see over and over again. Repeated again and again in James 1. The truth, as we have seen it over and over, is defined in James 1 as the wisdom from God, the word of truth, the righteousness of God, the perfect law, the law of freedom. That's the only difference between good and bad. That's the only difference between being deceived, deceived or being true. So don't miss that. If you think of the truth of the Word of God and you act on the truth of the Word of God, you will not be deceived. Instead, what will happen to you according to James 1? You will be blessed. You will live. You will be grounded. The only difference between life and death, between blessing and curse, is not your thinking, like me. Like, I'm going to have positive thinking. It's not my actions, like I'm going to work this and it's going to turn out for my good. The only difference is the truth of the Word of God from outside of yourself that you must, as it says in James 1, receive. It's received by you. That means accepted. That means taken in. That means believed. That means acted upon. It says, and you got to plant yourself, if for a main verse to understand this, in James 1:21, which is the lead into our section this morning. What does it say? Look at it. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, here it is, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So ask yourself, guys, when you're studying the Bible, it's very simple. Just ask questions and pray those questions to the Lord with a sincere heart. What is able to save my soul? Are you guys able to save your souls? No. Can you make some form of thought or thinking that's going to be able to save your soul, or that will lead to a work that you can do to save your soul? Of course not. No, it has to come from outside of you. You must receive something, and that only thing that you can receive that can save your souls according to the Word of God, that can give you life, that can set you up for blessing in all that you do, is the Word of God. Here in James, referred to as the Word of Truth. Here in James, referred to as the righteousness of God. Here in James, referred to as the perfect law, the law of freedom. And may the Lord give us eyes to see this theme throughout James and throughout His Word, because even the ability for you to see that truth can't come from you. It's a gift from God. And it's received from outside yourself. It only comes from Him. But that might sound scary to you, especially your kid. You don't have to be afraid. Why? Because if you just read James chapter 1, if you lack wisdom and the discernment to see, what do you do? What does James 1 tell us? Come on, you know. You ask! And what does it say about the God that you're asking? It says, He gives to all generously and without reproach. Are you part of all? You better believe you are. I provided a chart on the back of your note sheet to kind of visually illustrate this theme. The chart is, of course, not exhaustive. It's just a tool to help us see the themes. But, you know, we've already kind of seen these themes throughout chapter 1, that we're to consider or know the joyful blessings of God in the midst of the deadly world of trials, and that action is to endure in trial with the result of having a complete life or a perfect life. We're to consider that God is a generous giver of wisdom that leads to life, and the action is to ask God in faith. We're to consider the sure death of those who love the glory of man, and the action is to glory in the position that God has sovereignly put us in. We are to consider the sure life of those who love the Lord, and the action is to persevere in trial. We're to consider or know the source of temptation that brings death, and the action is, don't display what is not true about God. Don't go around and say that He's tempting me. We're to consider the source of the blessing that brings life, that it's the Lord, and our action is to display what is true about God. We're to consider that man's word does not produce life or blessing in the Lord, and our action then is to be quick to hear, quick ears, slow tongues, and have impotent anger. It doesn't do anything. And we're to consider or know that God's word does produce life and blessing in the Lord, and our action, as we're going to talk about today, is to receive and prove the true word of God. So let's read our section this morning. I'm going to read it, lead in with verse 21, and then we'll dive in. Verse 21, therefore, ridding yourselves of all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not just hearers who deceive themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. The one who has looked intently at the perfect law, the law of freedom, and has continued in it, not having become forgetful here, but an active doer, that this person will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this person's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. First of all, I want to point out, again, the Word of God is the great focus of this last section in verses 22 through 27. In verses 19 through 20, we saw that the word of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. Now we have a comparison of what does bring about the righteousness of God. The word of truth is in itself the righteousness of God. It is God's word alone, because his word alone is true, which produces and brings about that good result that we all so much desire in verse 21. It is able to save your souls. It is able to make you blessed. So, if you want to be blessed and have a blessed life, if you want to be saved, if you want to have life, what must we do according to James chapter 1? You have to start here, and you need to know, you need to consider, you need to meditate upon the Word of God. The Word of God, to be what is true, you need a true understanding of it. And then you need to act in accordance with that knowledge. And in doing that, you prove yourself a doer of the Word and not merely a hearer of the Word. We're going to compare those two with another chart on your notes. If you don't have note sheet, there's one in the back. This is what this last section of James 1, verses through 22 and through 27 is about. We've already seen, we've already harped on that there's only two ways. There's life, there's death, there's blessing, there's curse, there's salvation or judgment. We've already seen that the only difference between these two ways is the Word of God. That the truth of the Word of God is the only thing that can bring us out of death and into life. That's it. And now we want to focus on the fact that there are only two responses. There are only two responses to the Word of God in verses 22 through 27 for all men, women, children. And we are going to illustrate those two differences through, you guessed it, a chart, because I love me some charts. We're going to fill out the chart together on your note sheet based upon what the Word of God tells us through verse 22 through 27. So let's get at it. How do we know if we have received the Word of God implanted, which is able to save our souls? James 1:21. Scripture tells us, in response to the Word of God, all people will either, Roman numeral number 1 on your notes, two responses to the Word of God, either prove themselves or deceive themselves. Those are your two options in response to the Word of God. Look at me with verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I kind of like the updated NASB a little bit better. It reads, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So we're just going to make some simple observations of what Scripture tells us there. We have two possible responses to the Word of God. That gives us the two columns of our chart there on the bottom. You can either be a doer of the word, or you can be merely a hearer, you could put in there, of the word. You can fill that out at the top. Both are responses to the Word of God. Understand that. Both sides hear the Word of God with their physical ears. Now, first of all, a doer of the word. We see that a doer of the word does something. Regarding themselves. They prove themselves. You can write that under there on the chart. The Greek word translated doer means to be a producer, a performer, an actor. It's the same word that Paul used to describe the poets when he was talking to the people in Acts. He was saying, your poets have declared that people are descendants of God in Acts 17. A doer of the true word of God acts or performs the word of God. In so doing, Scripture tells us that they then prove themselves. What does it mean to prove something? Well, when you prove something, all it means is to show that it is true. Kids, you can receive your math lesson, and you can tell me that you understand and know your math lesson, but how do you prove to yourself and to everyone else that you really know your math lesson? You got to have a test, right? You have to have a test. You have to show that you can do it on the test. You have to, don't forget, show your work. All right. You have to write out how you do it, how you use it. You display it, and then you either pass or fail. Are tests fun? No, nobody looks forward to tests. But when you pass the test and you get that A+, you've proven yourself. You get that perfect score, you complete the test, and then what happens? Do you stay in sixth grade or seventh grade or eighth grade or whatever? No. You move on. You grow. You develop. The point is, proving shows the character of the thing being proven, whether it's true or whether it's false. So, another example. The strength of a bridge is proven when? When the big semi-truck rolls across it. Right? The bridge, and remember, keep it going with this example, did the bridge make itself? No. Bridges don't make themselves. But the bridge can certainly prove itself, can it? Christian, if you are alive in Jesus Christ by the word of God, you didn't make yourself either. You didn't make yourself alive. But you can certainly prove that you're alive in Christ. And how are you going to do that? Well, we're going to talk about that as we go on. The other side of being a doer of the word is to be merely hearers. Merely hearers of the word. We got two sides, two columns. This is the only other response to the word of God, to be a hearer only, or merely hearers. Note that both sides, again, hear the word of God, but only the doer acts, performs, does the word of God. The one who is merely a hearer of the word of God stops at hearing. So, here in the scriptures, we read that the person that merely hears also does something in regard to themselves. What does scripture tell us that that person does in regards to themselves? Do they prove themselves? Look back at your Bibles. It says that they deceive themselves. Or your version may say they delude themselves. And we've already talked this morning about what it means to be deceived. That Greek word translated means to reckon wrong or to miscount, to cheat or deceive by a false reckoning or accounting. It's like getting your facts wrong in your math problem, and you're going to get the wrong answer, right? That's what happens when you miscount on your math test. You don't pass. You fail. You don't prove yourself as someone who received the teaching. You prove yourself to be someone who did not receive the teaching. Remember that we are deceived when we are tricked to consider or think something that is not true. That's where it starts. It's based upon wrong or false thinking, and then you take wrong or false action, where then it results in you taking advantage of, or you losing, or you being hurting in some way. And if you reject the truth, friends, you're never going to get the right answer. If you reject that pi is 3.14, are you ever going to be able to calculate the circumference of a circle? No. You're always going to be wrong. I had to remind myself of that because I forgot all my math. Now, the Word of God is absolutely true. It is, as we read here, the Word of truth. The Word of God, the Bible, does not deceive you. Where does deceit come from according to scriptures? According to the word. Comes from ourselves. Comes from the liar. The father of lies. People that merely hear the word of God, though, what we're focusing on here, they deceive themselves. They delude themselves. That word delude means to water down something that is strong. Like, the more I of water I add to a glass of grape juice, the less it's going to taste like grape, right? The Word of God is strong, we read in Scripture. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And people who are merely hearers and not doers of the Word, they delude themselves. They don't delude the Word. You can't delude the Word. But they delude themselves by adding other things to themselves. Like what? Man's ideas and the flesh and sin and being caring about the things of the world. That's, you know what that's called when you read, quench not the Spirit? They're quenching the Spirit. They're saying, they're basically rejecting that truth, saying, you know what, that's nice, I'll put that in the backpack, but I also want this and this and this. What did Jesus say about people that say, yeah, I want to serve God, but I also want this too? What do you say about those types of people? He said, you're double-minded in all your ways. He said, you can't do that. Why? Because you're going to love one and hate the other. You have to love one and hate the other. So, remember that idea. There are two responses. Both hear the Word of God, but only one does the Word of God, is a doer of the Word of God. Both do something to themselves, but only the one who is the doer of the Word of God proves themselves to be in a good place, to be alive and to be blessed. And next, Scripture tells us that both sides, Roman numeral number 2, let's move to the idea of looking. First, we're going to look at the concept, the mere hearer of the Word looks. They look in response to the Word of God. Scripture first points us to the person who is the mere hearer and what they look at. Look at verse 23 with me. Read it in your Bibles. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. You can write that part down in your chart, in your column. Here James uses a metaphor to explain what the mere hearer is like. And a metaphor is something that helps us understand what something is like through an example. Okay? So here, I want us to think about this example that Scripture gives us about a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. Ask yourself first, where does the mere hearer look when he comes to the Word of God, according to this metaphor? He looks outward, yeah, but where is he looking specifically? He's looking at his natural face in the mirror. The Greek word translated natural means birth. It's that word Genesis. It looks like Genesis. It means birth or genealogy. It's who we are. It's where we come from. Your natural face is who you really are. It's the one you're born with. There's no surgeries done to it. No face creams. No makeup. No hair done. It's like you wake up and you go to the mirror and ugh, that's you. But the mirrors that we look at in the morning, they can only reflect what is visible on the outside, right? They can't reflect what's going on in here or in here. There's a sense in which the Word of God, when we open up the pages of Scripture, The Word of God is a mirror in which we see ourselves. But that mirror of the Scripture, it reveals to the hearer, to the person who reads it, their natural state, not just externally, but internally. And Paul described this for us in Hebrews 4. It's a passage you're very familiar with. Hebrews 4:12. He said, "For the Word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and of spirit, of both joints and marrow," and listen to this, "and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him whom we must answer." Do you want people to see you when you first get up in the morning and look in the mirror? You want that to be open and bare to the world? Are you getting out and being like, oh, I'm going to Insta this? That's a term young people use. No. You don't. You want that to be covered, just what you look like on the outside. Now imagine if there was an Instagram that could take a picture of what your heart looked like and what you were thinking. The Word of God lays that open and bare before the holy, sovereign Lord of the universe, with whom you will have to give an account. If that doesn't sober you up, it's because you don't really understand it. The mere hearer of the Word of God sees, revealed in the pages of Scripture, though, listen, he sees mainly himself. It's focused here. And what the mere hearer sees when he looks at Scripture about himself, he realizes it's not good for myself. The mere hearer sees that the Word of God reflects not only his natural face, which your natural face is turned against God, it sees his natural heart, which is in rebellion towards God, which is, according to Scripture, desperately wicked and beyond his understanding. The mere hearer sees that the Word of God reflects that the hearer is now marked for judgment before the eyes of the great judge to whom he must give an account. The mere hearer sees that in the script pages of Scripture that I am condemned. The Word of God shows them that he is completely covered in the filth and the dirt of his rebellion, and that his natural life is decaying with a sickness of sin that he cannot cure himself. Is that good news or bad news? That's the bad news. But note that the mere hearer sees only himself in the mirror of Scripture, and it convicts him, and it condemns him. And so it should. So what does he do? Let's look back at your Bibles, and we'll find out what he does. Verse 24. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Note that the mere hearer's focus is again on himself and not on the Word of God, or when he responds to the Word of God. The mere hearer sees his sorry and desperate state in the Word of God. The mere hearer's response then is to do what? Ooh. Go away from the Word of God. You can write that down. That's in your column. It's the A part. To go away from the Word of God. And then do what? Immediately forget it. Ugh, I don't want to think about that. Immediately forget what the Word of God revealed about him. Why does he do that? Because he hates what the Word of God says about him. He hates that it convicts him. He hates that it condemns him. He hates that it reminds him his end. And you know what he loves? He loves his sin. He loves the stuff that condemns him. He wants to live as if the Word of God says about him is not true. So he forgets what the Word of God says about him. The mere hearer chooses to forget the Word of God that he is not blessed and accept the lie of the world that blessing is found somewhere else, in the false, in the fading, in the things of this world that we already read are dying out. The mere hearer would rather eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. He doesn't do anything about his state. He's filthy. He's dirty. He's sick. He's like, okay, I see that. See you later. I'm going to forget about that. He just lives in denial of his state. Watch out for the crocodiles because he's in denial. He is self-deceived. Nobody laughs at my dad jokes. I heard some chuckles. All right, so Roman numeral number 3. The doer of the word, though. The doer of the word also looks. The doer of the words look in response to the Word of God. Scripture directs us to compare what the person who is the doer of the word looks at. Verse 25, look at your Bibles. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. All right, so that's also in your column. You can write that down. How they look. They look intently. Where? At the perfect law of liberty. That's what I want you to focus on. We'll ask the same question. Where does the doer of the word look in response to the word of God? The doer of the word does also look to the word of God the same way that mere hearer does. He opens the scripture and he sees the same thing the mere hearer does. He sees that he is in a sorry state. He sees that he is in desperate need in his natural state. But the doer of the word of God doesn't set his eyes upon himself. The doer of the word sees in the scriptures and believes that he can't do anything himself to save himself from his sorry state of condemnation and sin. So where does the doer of the word look to set his focus? On the perfect law. On the law, it says, of liberty. Let's think about those descriptions of the scriptures. We see here, where does the doer of the word look and set his focus? On the perfect law, on the law of liberty. We could spend a lot of time here. But just look at the perfection of the word. This should make you think about Psalm 19. I'm sure a lot of you are. Psalm 19 talks about the glory of the word of God. One of the things it says in verse 7 is that the law of the Lord is perfect. Does it stop there? No. It says the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That, the restoring the soul part, should be like, oh, I have some hope here. It can fix me. It can solve the problem of my dirt, grime, sickness. The doer sees that the law or the word of God that condemns him, yes, it does condemn you, it can also restore you. It can save you. The doer sees that the word of the Lord that reveals that he is in bondage to sin and marked for judgment also is to him the law of liberty, of freedom. It reveals that Jesus Christ, as it says in Revelation 1, who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So understand, friends, that the doer of the law looks into the mirror of Scripture, but he doesn't set his focus on this. He sets his focus upon Jesus Christ, because he is the only one who can fix the obvious problems and make him clean from his dirt and heal him from his disease and redeem his life from the pit. Sound like a psalm? It does. It's come from a psalm. The doer sets their eyes upon the living word of God, Jesus Christ, and guess what? They no longer see condemnation when they do that. As it says in Romans 8, but now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Now, we just read in our columns, set by each other, the mere hearer of the law goes away from the word. What does the doer of the law do? Look at your Bibles. Does he go away from the word? No. Scripture tells us just the opposite. James 1:25. The doer abides in it. The doer not only stays close, the doer lives in it. You remember what Jesus said about those who believe in him in John 8. He said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. In other words, you've proven yourself. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. Remember, we want that truth so we're not deceived. And the truth will set you free. That's the law of liberty. John 15:5, Jesus went on to say, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do Something? Nothing. So again, we have the idea of being fruitful. Scripture connects. It's the same theme. The doer does not forget this life-giving word. Remember, the mere hearer, he forgets. What does it say about him in our passage? Not having become a forgetful hearer. Write that down in your column too, in your chart. Not having become a forgetful hearer. The doer does the opposite. He is desperate for the word of God. She is desperate for the word of God. We read that she looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty. Why do they look intently? Because they see that it's the only thing that can fix their sorry state, and they're desperate to get it fixed. It's the only thing that can give them life and blessing. It's like if you're drowning in the ocean and someone throws you a life preserver, how are you going to hold that life preserver? Like, I'll just hold on to this until somebody comes. No! You're going to hold on with both hands and not let go. You're going to hold on intently. It's the same thing. And that, friends, here is the guaranteed result here. It's the only thing that can save you, and that's the guaranteed result. Look at what it says in our scripture in James at the end of verse chapter 25. Or not chapter 25, 125. This man, this woman, this person will be blessed in what he does. Guaranteed. That's how you get to that good state, that result that you want. Psalm 34, 4-6 says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The point I'm bringing that up is the blessed person, the blessings to that blessing person can only come to the one who looks to the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, and abides in Jesus Christ, and then will necessarily reflect Jesus Christ. That's proving that you're His. Understand, guys, that the more time you spend looking at Christ, the more time you will reflect Christ. You won't look dirty and gross anymore. It says you'll be radiant. Not because you yourself are radiant, but because of the glory and the radiance of Jesus Christ. Great example is Moses. Remember Moses when he went up and spent time with the Lord at Mount Sinai receiving his word, and he came down, and what did his face look like? It was glowing. The people didn't like it, so he had to put the veil over his face. He was radiant. Was Moses radiant because he was super holy guy and it was just coming out of him? No, he was radiant because he was reflecting the glory of the God to whom he was looking and the glory of the word which he was receiving. Next, we come back to our recurring theme of thinking leads to action, leads to result. Both the order of the word and the mere hearer of the word respond to the word of God with thoughts that lead to actions that produce results. So let's look at the first mere hearer in verse 26. Now we're on to Roman numeral number 4. The mere hearer of the word thinks, acts, and has certain results. So that's what we're going to look at. The thinking, the acting, the resulting. You can fill in those parts on your note sheet. And again, it's all in response to the word of God. Verse 26, we see that the mere hearer thinks in response to the word of God. And once again, the mere hearer is focused where? On himself. Look at verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious. Let's stop there. Note that the mere hearer of the word of God does not necessarily display an outward rejection for the word of God. They reject it internally, but they don't maybe necessarily display it outwardly. The mere hearer can be so self-deceived that they think that they're a Christian, or that they think that they're a believer of the Word of God, or they say, yes, I accept, I love the Bible. It has very good things to say, or something like that. The test, though, is in where they set their minds or their thoughts. Okay? That's what we're reading here. And we read here in Scripture that the mere hearer, the bad state, the mere hearer, not only looks to themselves, but they judge themselves. And they judge, or they think in their head, that they are very religious and pious or righteous or good. They've assessed themselves and they've judged themselves as being a good state. However, they reveal that they are not in a good state then by their actions. And that is what we see in the next verse, verse 26, if we keep reading. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, so he's not bridling his tongue. That means words are coming out, whatever the tongue wants to say. Jesus said in Matthew 12, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." He said, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So my point here in Scripture is saying that the mere hearer will be revealed by the words that come out of their mouth that reflect their heart. And naturally, friends, our tongues, as we're going to find out as we go into James chapter 3, our tongues are wild and our tongues are destructive. They bless and they curse. They build up and they destroy. If you don't believe that, come to my house and listen to my kids sometimes. Gotcha. The mere hearer will reveal that by the words they speak. And we're going to see that again in James 3. Only the doer of the word can bridle the tongue, because only the doer of the word who looks to Christ has been freed from sin. The mere hearer will reveal in his speech what his heart is like, that he is deceived, that he has tricked his own heart in his conclusions that he is righteous and pious and good. And that leads to the result, which we will see at the end of verse 26. Look at it. This man's religion is worthless. So, a worthless, worthless religion. Being worthless is a waste of time. There's no point to it. It doesn't accomplish anything. Now, Scripture then goes on to compare that mere hearer to the doer. So this is Roman numeral number 5. The doer of the word, how do they think? How do they act? What is their result in response to the word of God? Verse 27, we see how the doer of the word thinks, in response to the word of God. And once again, the doer of the word is not focused on what he thinks of himself. The doer of the word is not focused on his own assessment of himself. Rather, the doer of the word is only concerned about what the God of the word thinks. Look at verse 27 to see that. It says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. We're going to kind of land on that phrase, in the sight of God, our God and Father. The doer of the word knows that what he thinks of himself, how he assesses himself, that's a worthless assessment. You can deceive yourself so easily. That's why God puts us in a people of community and fellowship. That's why God blessed me with a wife. Because she's the one who says, you know, I know you think you're doing the right thing here, but let me give you a different perspective. You're not as smart as you think. You're being a little harsh. We need that, and God knows that. But the ultimate arbitrator of the reality and truth is obviously the truth himself, the Lord God. So, again, the point is, he doesn't assess himself. Rather, the doer of the word is only concerned. His only view is, what does the God of the word think? What is the assessment of my King, of the one who will judge everything perfectly? Look at verse 27 again. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. The doer of the word knows that what he thinks again of himself is worthless. He doesn't want to end up like the worthless religion guy who's the mere hearer. The only opinion and assessment that matters of what is religious comes from the sight of our God and Father. We don't want our mind. Listen, when you become a believer, if you have true and saving faith, your mind, you don't want that anymore. What does Scripture say that we get? The mind of Christ. Does that mean you stop being you? Of course not. But it means that you don't think the way that you thought before. That you begin to think the thoughts of Christ. And a true believer, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, has the mind of Christ. Has. You have it. Well, if that's how the doer of the word thinks, how does the doer of the word act? Look at verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Here's the point. A doer of the word is not just a talker. The mere hearer is a talker. They love to talk, 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 talk. That's how they reveal themselves. They're not actors. And the doer of the word may talk the talk, but they also walk the walk. And the doer of the word takes action. They are a performer, a prover, an actor. And the doer of the word reads the word, gets up, and goes out, and it says here, visits those who have no ability to pay them back. They visit those who have no ability to benefit them in any way, orphans and widows, in and of themselves, don't have a lot to give, but then throw on there, in their distress. Oh, they're really in a bad spot. And the doer of the word looks and sees when he does that, not himself. This is not a selfish thing like the mere hearer. But those who are in need, and the doer of the word takes action then to meet and to fill those needs for those who can't help themselves, who are in a desperate state, who need someone to do something for them outside of themselves. Why does the doer do that? You already know why. I heard it. Because the doer of the word knows that that's him. The doer of the word who abides in Christ and reflects Jesus Christ does the same actions for others that Jesus Christ did for him when he was in a desperate spot. And he had no one to help him. And he was in great distress. And he was powerless to do anything about it. So the one who's the doer reflects his Savior, and he goes out and does the same for someone else, just like what was done for him, in the name of his Savior. He was in great need and distress, and there was none to help. And the Lord God visited that doer of the word. How did the Lord God visit the doer of the word? He sent his Son, his only Son, Jesus Christ. And what did he do for him? He laid down his life. He gave himself. And he lived a perfect life of righteousness, something he was impossible for him to do. And he died on the cross of Calvary and paid the debt of his sin, something he could never do, though he spent eternity in hell. And the Lord God provided for him and lifted him up out of that distress and set his feet upon solid ground. He brought him out of all of his distresses. So wouldn't the doer of the word go out and do that for someone else in a tiny, tiny way? The doer of the word in action shows that he's not deceived. Where do we see that? Look at verse 27. And to keep oneself unstained by the world. In other words, friends, the doer of the word doesn't buy the lies of the world. The lie is saying, hey, come this way, buy this, invest here. You're going to be happy if you do these things. You're going to be satisfied and have true peace if you come over and join us. The doer of the word doesn't buy it. They see it for what it is. The doer of the word doesn't chase the false and the fading and the deadly. The doer of the word doesn't pursue it. The doer of the word doesn't go near it. It doesn't go near the dirt, the filth, and the decay that leads to death, because he knows its end. And he's already been washed. He's already been saved. He's already been made alive, so he doesn't hang out in the cemetery anymore. And the doer proves who he is by keeping himself unstained by the world. Now, do we sometimes step in it? Do we fall into our old ways and follow after the flesh and get our hands dirty? Of course we do. We do it every day. But where does the doer of the word look to when that happens? They say, well, I'm going to be better. I'm going to wash myself. I'm going to really work on my anger, and I'm going to get this under control. I'm going to go to therapy, and we're going to work through some anger management tools. Not that those things are bad. But the point is, the doer of the word says, I'm dirty. I'm going to stop looking at myself. I'm going to look to Christ. I'm going to look to my Savior. What does he say for me to do here in Scripture? He says, oh, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm going to keep short accounts. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn away. Wash me. I messed up again. You're gracious. You're forgiving. The doer of the word continues to look at the word and look at the word and look at the word, and the promises, and the promises contained are true, and he puts his trust in it and he believes it. And he keeps going back to the fountain that washed him and declared that he's clean. And what is the result of that when we do that? Well, for those who are in Christ, remember we've already been made pure, but also don't forget that we are being made pure. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 6:11. Remember, he talks about the things that man used to be this, used to be that, used to engage in all these horrible sins. But he writes, but you were washed and you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true. But also in Titus 2, it talks about the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts so we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. We're being made, we're being sanctified, we're being made more like him, more pure. The result for the doer of the word who looks to Jesus Christ, abides in Jesus Christ, reflects Jesus Christ, is not a worthless religion. That's the mere here. But what is it? A religion that is, we see in Scripture, pure and undefiled, that reflects our Savior Jesus Christ, who himself is pure and undefiled. So we're out of time. But I can't leave you without you thinking about yourself. I know we're said don't focus on yourself, but you have to ask yourself some questions. Understand that right now you're living out James 1. This morning you have heard the word of God with your physical ears. And according to the word of God that we've just studied, you will have one of two responses to this word, which will lead to one of two results. One's good and one's bad. So we need to ask ourselves, am I a doer of the word? Or am I merely a hearer of the word? And I can't answer that for you. There's only one who can answer that for you. And his name is Jesus Christ. And you can find him in the pages of the Scriptures. So if you really want to know the answer to that question, where do you look? Don't look to yourself and say, well, I did this and I did this and I did this, so I think I'm okay. That kind of reflects that you're not a doer of the word, by the way. You look to the word of God, the Bible. Look to him, because only he judges rightly. And when you do, when you look to Jesus Christ, you're going to see that he's your judge, and it's going to be scary. But I'm telling you right now, don't turn away. Don't go away. Don't forget. Keep looking. Because if you keep looking at Christ, you're going to see the judge has offered to be your Savior. You will see, as you look in, His great love for you in His Word. And that great love resulted in action that He took upon Himself for your life and for your good and your blessing. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Your Word is true, as we've already said. And Father, we don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be mere hearers. We don't want worthless religion. We don't want the bad result of death and judgment and condemnation. We want to live. We want to be blessed. And Father, we acknowledge there's only one way for that. Father, that's if we would look to You and we would be grounded in Your truth. Oh Lord, I pray that this morning You would cause every heart here to look to You in Your Word, to look to Jesus Christ, and to keep looking, and to hold on and not forget Him, and abide in Him and not let go. Because, Father, we know that You are a good and gracious God. You do not turn away those who come to You. And we pray that You would save many a heart and many a soul, and that You would glorify Your name by and through the preaching of Your Word, both now and through the rest of this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.